It's time for Twitch. John C. Dvorak and Mark Millian are here. We're going to talk about Apple's latest moves against Samsung, all the big announcements coming up this week, and a really big picture of Bruce Willis. It's all next on Twitch.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Audio bandwidth for This Week in Tech is provided by the new Winamp for Android, featuring wireless sync and one-click iTunes import. Now with free daily music downloads and full-length CD listening parties. Download it for free at winamp.com/android. Video bandwidth for Twit is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Twit, This Week in Tech, episode 369, recorded September 2nd, 2012. The Purple Rubber Band. This Week in Tech is brought to you by GoToAssist from Citrix. Take control of your IT world from one simple cloud-based platform. Provide live or unattended support to all your users anywhere. Sign up for your 30-day free trial today. Visit GoToAssist.com and use the promo code TWIT. And by Gazelle, the fast and simple way to sell your iPhone, iPad, MacBook, or Android smartphone. Find out what your gadget is worth and get cash to upgrade to the latest iPhone at Gazelle.com. And by Ford. Ford invites us tech geeks to join the conversation, submit ideas, and grab a tech geek badge at social.ford.com. And by audible.com. Sign up for the Platinum Plan and get 2 free books. Go to audible.com/twit2. And don't forget to follow Audible on Twitter. User ID audible_com. This is Twit. Ladies and gentlemen, a very good day to you. We take a moment out of our busy weeks to sit, to ponder, to consider the implications of the tech news stories of the week with our top-notch pundits. Starting with, to my left, Mark Millian, who is a, what is your title, writer, editor?
Writer-editor.
Writer-editor at Bloomberg Businessweek, which is a fine magazine.
Well, thank you, Leo.
Fine. I was just thinking I should subscribe to this, actually. It's good to have you back, Mark. Mark, we first met Mark when he was at the LA Times, then CNN, and now he's lighted. And you have at Bloomberg Business Week, and you have an article in here about the CEO of, what was the name of the company?
CTO of Shopkick.
What's Shopkick?
It's a mobile rewards program, and there's some interesting technology behind it.
This is a hot topic.
A modem. Using modem technology, it's a speaker at a store's entrance that the human ear cannot hear, but the smartphone can hear it.
Wow.
And so it knows which store you're in.
Wow. GPS not enough.
GPS not enough. If you're in a mall, how does it know if you're in the Gap or the Old Navy 2 stores down?
Also here, John C. Dvorak from ChannelDvorak.com. Good to have you back, John.
Hello.
And sitting in the chair where Jolie O'Dell would be perched, the iCEO. You know, I was thinking because we might
this
have
is
an
the app. One that was banned, wasn't it?
No, this is from a Throwboy, but it may have been banned because he doesn't have any more. So there's some question about whether he.
There's also the action figure. I think that was the one.
That was the one that was banned.
Yeah.
This does look a little like Steve Jobs, but it could be anybody wearing a black turtleneck jeans and
which is half the Mac owners in the world.
Yeah, could be Johnny Ive. Anyway, Jolie is running late, but we'll get her in the studio soon. Actually, that is one of the top stories. It's going to be a crazy week. We've got coming up on September 5th, Nokia is going to make some announcements. Motorola, Google going to make some announcements. Presumably, both of those will be new phones, although Nokia might do a Windows 8 tablet or Windows RT tablet. Then Amazon, the next day, September 6th, has a New York City announcement, presumed to be the new Kindles. Or is that a guess, or do we know? Have they said? They haven't said, but... Yeah.
Seems
everybody's taking a page from Apple's book.
Yeah, it's a busy couple weeks coming up.
But nobody's received an invite yet to the Apple event. Am I right?
Correct.
But the rumors are very strong that it's September 12th. That's about right. That means Monday or Tuesday, maybe Wednesday, we'll get invitations. Not me.
A week before.
Some will get
it. I won't get one.
You'll get an invitation. Mark will get an invitation. He'll tell us.
Yeah, because he hasn't
done anything
angered
bad. Angered the iCEO yet. And that's presumably a phone, although the pundits who seem best connected to Apple, that would be John Gruber of Daring Fireball. He started it, followed by John Pachowski at All Things D, and confirmed by the legendary Jim Dalrymple of The Loop.
Yep.
Yep. Mr. Yip. You know who this is? This has emerged without my knowledge. This has happened. Apparently, this guy, Jim Dalrymple, is so well connected that he doesn't repeat rumors, he confirms them. But he's not really with Apple. He's never been an Apple employee, but apparently just if so in the
he
past
he was the editor of Macworld magazine.
He was there for
so
a long
time.
Well
he's pretty well sourced.
He's very well sourced. So Gruber writes an article saying, I've been thinking which I find hard to believe. It seems more like I got a phone call. But anyway, I've been thinking. Apple probably wouldn't announce a new iPad mini at the same time as they announce a new iPhone because that would steal the iPhone's thunder. They'll have two events.
Is that Dalrymple the guy with the Taliban beard?
Yeah.
Okay.
he's either ZZ Top or
yeah,
Taliban.
He does look a lot like ZZ Top.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got a big
beard. Well, he needs a big sunglasses. That would do it.
It's a picture with of him is the most popular picture of him. I think it's his Twitter picture. And I think it's the Slash. Or is it just Slash? Slash or the Slash?
Well, he's on like the guitar guy?
Yeah. No the.
I think it's Slash.
No yes. The. Okay. Glad we cleared that up. He looks like Leon Russell. God, I've completely lost my train of thought. Oh, yeah. John Gruber says, I've been thinking they're not going to have one event. They're going to have two because why steal the thunder? The next, they'll announce an iPad mini, 7.85-inch iPad in October. And Jim Dalrymple's response is, that Gruber's a pretty smart guy. And then John Pachowski in All Things D says, yep.
Oh, God.
Really? I didn't follow all this.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's hard to follow. I make a profession out of it. Anyway, a lot of announcements. We'll probably cover some of those live. Brian Hogg is making me a Tim Cook puppet.
Puppet?
Yeah.
With the hand?
Yeah, because I thought we Apple no longer streams those events.
Oh, we can just do the thing with a bunch of puppeteers.
I was going to do a reenactment.
I think that's a great idea.
Got the iCEO. We could just get a puppet of Tim Cook, and we'd really be set. Don't you think?
I think that's the way to go.
Yeah, and we'll
probably be a lot more
we'll
entertaining,
make a little
too.
Mini stage with little curtains.
Yeah, and one of them will hold a stick.
What I'll do is I'll get, because The Verge and Engadget and everybody does live blogs, and they put pictures up. I'll just have a rear projection, and we can put the pictures up as they come. We could actually do a pretty decent I want to put some energy into this.
Yeah, it
we
sounds like
we could do a
like
pretty good recreation.
I think you would hit the home run with this.
And then one more thing.
It'd be good.
You got to make sure he's carrying around a Samsung phone. Mini Steve Jobs.
A little mini Samsung phone.
Yeah.
And that's speaking of which, Samsung's back in court. Now, as you know, last time we spoke, Samsung won a $1.05 billion judgment against, I'm sorry, Apple won a $1.05 billion judgment against Samsung and 24 of its phones. Samsung came back to court. I wonder if that's Jolie. Samsung came back to court on Friday and said, oh, by the way, we'd like to add some more phones to the complaint. Originally, Samsung had included the Galaxy S3 and some other more modern phones in the lawsuit. Apple had.
You mean Apple?
God, I'm just, do you understand why I'm confused?
It's ludicrous.
They're the same, Apple and Samsung.
Well, you know, I wrote a column about this for PC Magazine that discussed that what I think was the big mistake that Apple's, and the continuing mistake they're making, which is making the phones equivalent. Because now we're creating the psychological effect on the public at large that these two phones are the same indeed.
So why buy the expensive?
Why buy the expensive Apple phone? Instead, buy the cheap,
I don't know.
Exactly the same Galaxy phone and save all this money. And meanwhile, it costs I don't even think they're ever going to pay the billion or whatever it is because there's all kinds of other things that are going on. And we have to remember that half of the guts of the iPhone are made by Samsung, including the CPU. So this is a joke, this whole thing.
So apparently Apple has filed an amended complaint. This is a separate case from the Apple-Samsung case with the U.S. District Court for Northern California. They had already asked for patent infringement against the phone you're carrying, John, the Nexus. In fact, asked for...
Does it look anything like an iPhone to you?
Oh, see, this is... Well, okay. I'll set this up and then I'll say where my issues are. And they've added to that complaint the Galaxy S3, which I carry, and the Galaxy Note, which I used to carry. which is 5.3 inches. It's ginormous.
And besides that, if this were to really look like an Apple phone, this should be scratched to crap, so it should be all scratched
made out
up.
Of glass. So these are the more recent phones. Now, they had originally added at least some of those phones to the trial, and Judge Lucy Coe that they just concluded, and Lucy Coe said, you can't do all of those. It's too much. So they took the more recent phones out. I was not too upset with the verdict because I thought the jury rightly concluded that Samsung copied Apple intentionally. They looked at the iPhone early on, and their early Samsung Android phones looked very much like the iPhone. And there was the smoking gun emails from the Samsung executives that said, we have a crisis of design. We've got to respond to the iPhone. I've just seen it, and it's heaven versus the hell of our phones. And I think the jury rightly concluded, yeah, Samsung said, we're going to copy.
Well, they did with the white iconic against the black green background. It was an exact ripoff.
But that was then. Now, this is 5 years later, and I think Samsung's really innovated. I think the Note is a good example. To me, it seems, for Apple to include these, to have a new suit against these new phones is not nearly so clear-cut.
Yeah, it's not as strong of an argument. I mean, the damage is, I think, related mostly to the
confusion.
Yeah.
And there's no confusion, right? Or you're not confused. Nobody's confused. We know what this phone is. It's
apparently Susan Carr.
Susan Carr, but that was looking at earlier phones, yeah. Not these current phones. Now, the patents that Apple is going after Samsung now, these are the new ones. They're 647, the data detectors patent, 721, slide to unlock, 172, word completion, and 604, universal search. These were not...
word completion?
Yeah.
Huh.
Like T9. Isn't that prior art?
Yeah, it's old.
So they're trying to get a sales ban against these products. 21 new smartphones, media players, and tablets that Samsung began releasing in August of last year through August of this year. The Galaxy S3, the Galaxy Note, the Galaxy S2, the Epic 4G Touch Galaxy S2, that's on Sprint. The Illusion, the Captivate Glide, these names.
Terrible names.
Stratosphere, yeah, Transform Ultra.
The latter ones are named by the carriers, though.
Oh, are they?
Carriers
oh,
have the Admire, worst naming conventions.
Conquer, the Dart.
Have you seen the
Dart? You want to throw it at somebody.
It's like made by Dodge.
The Android phones versus condom names.
And, yes.
Yeah.
They do seem a little bit...
The Excite.
It's confusing, yeah.
Yeah.
The Captivate, the Fascinate. The Excite. The media players, too. The Galaxy Tab, which both the 10.1 Note and the Tab 7 Plus and the 8.9-inch Tab, all of which the jury in the last case said, no, the tablets don't infringe. So Apple's not giving up. And I think at this point it's going a little far. I think it was not so bad that Apple won that case. And I think they'll settle. They can move forward. But if Apple continues to put Samsung phones in jeopardy, I'm not going to be happy because I like them. I want them.
Winning that case may have vindicated Apple, and maybe now they'll go on a tear thinking that they have an argument.
That's the
Well, boy, you got to remember, Apple's been a litigative company
always.
since Apple II days, since the plain Apple computer came out.
Since Windows. Windows.
Back further. 1979, we're talking.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, well.
He wasn't born yet.
But that's when they started suing people left and right. Franklin Computer was damn near put out of business.
That's right.
In fact, it was essentially by suit.
Good article in TechCrunch. Let me see if I can find this. I should have bookmarked it. That I think does a good job of kind of breaking this down and acknowledges that Apple's been wandering. Here it is. It's from John Evans. Apple's patent win is bad for all of us. He says, I can see why people who were Apple users during the dark days have a messianic zeal. Their ultimate triumph after such long suffering at the brutal hands of inferiors, like Microsoft, might seem to them more than remarkable. It might seem, and this is a good word, righteous. Add that to one of the weirdest and most unexpected things about the 21st century, the extent to which so many people defensively identify with the operating system on their phone.
Before that, on the computer.
Right.
Over the holy battles.
I'm a Mac person.
Yeah.
I'm a Windows person. And Apple must seem like a living testament to the ultimate victory of truth, justice, and the American way. That's great writing, by the way. But I think that that's a good point, that there's a You don't like it?
It's corny.
Like it. It's corny, but I like it. So what he's saying is that Apple, it's understandable that people who have lived through the dark days of Apple teetering on the brink might have kind of a messianic zeal, a righteous indignation about what Samsung's doing that isn't really justified.
Do you know anybody that's righteously indignant about this personally?
No.
I don't either.
But I live in a bubble.
Well, you run into a lot of people.
Yeah.
You go to the Macworld conference.
I've never run into anybody that's upset about it. In fact, when I take one of these Nexus phones in, I'm always going on and on about the fact it never gets scratched ever. And they say, yeah, it's fine. Nobody cares.
I was standing around with a bunch of teenagers last night. My son had his 18th birthday party.
Okay.
And I was standing at the front door guarding it, trying to keep people out and keep the drunks from driving home. And I was standing with a gaggle of teenagers, and one of the girls had her iPhone and dropped it. You know, very easy. It's slippery.
Yeah, it's said people drop them.
And she went, "Oh, I cracked it. What are my parents going to say?" And then every one of them said, "Oh yeah," and they all pulled out their cracked iPhones.
Yeah,
every one of them.
It's amazing.
That was pretty good
so far.
I've had it for almost 2 years.
Well, and you're careful.
How is it that you've not cracked your iPhone?
Do
you have
I'm
a case?
Careful.
You don't have a case?
No, I don't use a case.
So that was the thing. She didn't have a case. I thought, well, why? You know, if you have an iPhone, shouldn't you have it in some sort of bulletproof?
I don't know what is with these kids dropping their iPhones left and right.
Drinkers.
I think that's what it
son,
is. They're all a bunch of
no,
alcoholics.
They're not. No, nobody was drunk.
Yeah,
the
well,
back
yeah,
and
sure.
front. It's, look, as Steve Martin once told me, I like the iPhone. It was a
You're
great phone.
You're always dropping his name.
I like
you know,
to
every
drop his
time
name.
He can.
Hey, wouldn't you?
My buddy Steve.
My buddy Steve told me. He said, Apple, the problem with the iPhone is they took a great phone and they made it out of glass and slippery. You can't deny that.
I guess. But there's sure a lot of people that break them.
Hey, the rumor is that they're going back to metal on the back, right?
Right. That'd Which nice. Will, by the way, break the NFC. So now
you
the rumor
gonna
is...
Do NFC?
What do you think, iCEO?
Well, the way I see it... We've got plenty of things to do, other things to worry about besides these little petty grievances.
You're doing an impression of
Get
you?
Get back to work.
Sounds just like him.
Get back to work. Get back to work. The other rumor was that Apple will not be doing NFC, which is kind of disappointing to me because you wouldn't make the back metal if you were going to do NFC. It doesn't work through metal. This has
right,
NFC, and but it's a, you know, as all with Samsung phones, it's got that. Cheesy plastic back.
Yeah, well.
So this phone
you can
has
replace
NFC.
It with
yeah, and
one.
You know where they put the NFC? And this is clever. They put it in the battery, so you can't use some cheapy third-party battery. If you
was
want.
That right?
Yeah. There's probably other good reasons. NFC is a passive technology, but they have to have power in they use inductive power to get the passive chip to read. So they need quite a bit of power. So maybe it makes sense to put it in the battery.
Do you use Google Wallet?
Google Wallet does not work on my phone. As it does not work on many
because
Android phones.
Because it's a Verizon?
No, it's an unlocked European Galaxy S3. And it says Wallet is not available. And so I thought, no, that's an S3 issue. But then somebody emailed me and said, no, my T-Mobile S3 it works on. So it's maybe carrier.
And Sprint.
That one's on AT&T.
Supports Wallet.
Maybe it's Sprint. Maybe it was Sprint, he said, yeah. Wallet's a great idea because Google has now allowed you to add all your credit cards, right?
Mm-hmm. Took a little while, but
yeah
now you
but that's
do
just
it.
Recently.
Yeah.
So now, if I get somewhere with an NFC chip, of which there are very few.
Well, actually, I see the terminals around quite a bit. I have the American Express card that has a chip on it that I use sometimes, but I don't think to use it. I just swipe.
I saw an interesting. Now you just talked about Shopkick.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a new. Chat room, do you remember we were talking about it during the radio show, a new product, Android product for shoppers that you tap, instead of tapping to pay, you tap to get a receipt. And your phone is copying information about stuff you buy as you walk around.
That sounds right.
I think that's a very, I don't know, would that be a compelling? Also offers. Which, of course, I'm sure Shopkick wants to do offers because that's where the money is, right? You walk into a store.
Do.
Yeah, you walk into a store, you hear that magic tone. Was it Proximient?
You got 32 gigabytes on this little bitty card.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
So let me show you this app, Proximient, touch-and-go digital receipts. So this is another way you could use NFC that's kind of...
This is all a scam.
What?
This is the worst thing we should be doing is any NFC? Of this NFC stuff, especially if
for
it goes through the phone
reasons?
Company. No, because this is going to be the phone company in charge of our personal debts. And so they can, in the olden days, you might have some charge or something with American Express. Say, look, we don't want to pay it. Okay, well, it's up for grabs.
Well, in this case, though, John, it's not the phone company. It's Google.
No, I know, but it's going to end up with the phone company. You watch. I guarantee it.
Well, that's what ISIS is about. The phone company is controlling the payments.
No, I think it's going to be Apple and Google. Apple's certainly going to control
the iPhone.
They're not going to
go. They don't want to be in this business.
Google doesn't do any of the payment stuff. They have MasterCard.
No, I understand. But you're not going through your phone carrier when you're using Google Wallet. You're going through Google.
True.
Right?
But it depends on where's it going to be. How's it going to be billed out? Is it going to be billed out on your phone bill or not?
Currently, it's billed out on your credit card through Google Wallet.
That's
fine. Nothing to do with the phone.
If ISIS takes off, it'll be on your phone bill.
But that's not going to take off because neither Google nor Apple wants that. Both companies very much want to take care of all the traffic, right?
Well,
there's a lot of money in that.
There's a lot of money in...
You just pulled everything out of my phone.
Yeah. It's okay. It's back together. I didn't change it to Greek.
John is like field stripping my phone during the show.
Stripping it for parts.
While you're in there, would you mind cleaning it a little bit?
Maybe, I was going to lick it.
Yeah.
There you go.
Some valuable
swab
in there.
So this Proximient lets you get receipts beamed to your smartphone without having to share your personal information with the store. You can manage your spending. When you have a return, you've got a barcode on the phone for that receipt. So you don't need to bring your receipt with you. You scan it. They collate the information. And they have, and this is, of course, the key, rewards.
Cute girl in the demo video.
And a
too.
Cute girl in the demo video. That Thank helps. You, for Mark, for saying that, so yeah. I didn't have to.
So do you actually use this?
I could. Or? I don't. And you know why? Because not a single merchant in town supports it. Nobody supports it.
Is there any NFC applications you use with your phone?
Yeah. When you come in here, there's a little NFC chip on the wall. If you tap that, it'll check you in on Foursquare.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
Yeah, it's a demo.
You need to download it.
What if you don't? What if
you
don't have an account on Foursquare?
Then it won't do nothing.
Well, that's more like it. I have my NFC turned off. I refuse to have something like that turned on. It's basically creating a beacon wherever I go.
No, because you have to. It's within a few inches. You can't. It's not beaconing. It has to have.
They have these demos every once in a while.
That's RFID.
And this is not that much different.
This is very different. It's an RFID that's specifically designed to be short range because it needs inductance from a power source to do it.
So does the thing I use to go across the bridge. It hasn't got a battery in it.
No, that's true.
And the thing's a mile away from the thing.
This is supposedly designed to avoid that for security reasons. Oh, God.
And you
I can already see the problem here.
If you want to believe these stories, that's fine with me.
I'm a true believer.
Yeah.
So Apple doing NFC, do we think it's going
to
happen?
No. That's a surprise to me because it would make a huge difference if Apple did. I think it would give it critical mass. But no merchant. See, this is the power of the iPhone. If you're – I'm looking here. We're in Main Street, USA right here.
Pretty much.
You go down Kentucky Street. Unless those merchants all have NFC terminals of some kind, nobody's going to do it. Now, if Apple did it, and everybody walking around with an iPhone had that capability,
that's not the way it works. Some guy from out of town will come in here, some slicker.
Carpetbagger.
City slicker.
And see, he's
going to be going from store to store to store showing these people why they should have this. And then he's going to be walking
like
away
the music man.
With a bunch of money, a big handful of money.
Or a company like Google, which has already come in to some merchants and said, we'll install these terminals if you put a little ad for Google Wallet on them.
Right. That's what it says. If I go to Pete's Coffee right now, it says Google Wallet. That's the one store in town I think I can use it. Now, then there's the other one. There's geofencing, which Square, Pay with Square uses.
And, which kills the battery.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
What is this?
So it's a feature in Pay with Square where you can turn it on for select merchants. If you go nearby, it automatically checks your phone.
It's kind of embarrassing because I did have that turned on, and there's a coffee store just like a couple of blocks here, and it's always on because I'm always here. Mm. So I had to turn that off.
So was everybody going in paying with Leo?
Yeah. Just say, I'm Leo. Put it on Leo's tab.
That's a good idea. Now, that's an advantage.
So it does geofencing, but the problem is if you're nearby, you know, it's this. I think this sound, this tone is an interesting response to that Shopkick.
Yeah, it's cool.
It's just the problem is you got to get critical mass for anything to work. mm-hmm. right? Because no merchant's going to put Google Wallet, Proximient, and Shopkick in their store, or are they?
Well, I think NFC being a standard, it's already started to take off. I go to, you know, 7-Eleven, McDonald's.
I kind of agree with that. I don't think you need to put any, all of them. I think it's almost like going to the ATM. You got the Star Network, all these different networks that read your card. It says it on the back of your card, which ones they right. go for. And I think there'll just be a bunch of these networks that that consolidate the pipe, but they still compete with each other.
I just like the idea of getting rid of the wallet, getting rid of money.
Uh-uh.
Surely you want to get rid of money.
No.
Why not? What, do you want to go back to the gold standard?
No, I'm not a gold standard.
Here, let me take this gold coin. I'll cut an eighth of it off and give it to you.
I like the species. I think it's a very wise way to go. I think it's a very modern thing to do.
What? Species?
Species. The what's called a bill. You know, they print.
That's called a species?
Species, yeah.
Not like species like Darwin.
No, that's species.
Origin
that's
of species.
Different.
S-P?
I think it's S-P-E-C-I-E-S.
And it's and it means?
Dollar bill. It means a bill. It means
like indicia means a stamp.
You know what this means.
I never heard the term.
Mm.
Is it a term of art or is it just something you made up?
It means money.
It means money. So you like species.
I do.
It can't be spelled the same as species. Maybe I'll take the E out.
Well, probably, yeah. There's some spelling.
I can't find it.
Well, anyway, it's what it's called. So you can look it up later. I'll look it up while we're doing the show. But anyway, the thing is, I like printed money. I think it's a good thing. And you can control the economy a little better. I think it does work, despite what everybody else thinks.
Money. You like money. You like dollar bills. You like pennies. You like nickels.
I don't like the pennies so much.
You like quarters.
Yeah. What's wrong with that?
I don't want to carry it around.
I want to walk. Everything you buy tracked by some horrible people.
Oh, so what you like about money is it's anonymous.
It's a nice thing. It's fine.
It's the only good thing. It's a disease carrier.
I have never really caught
like
anything
mosquitoes.
From money. Unless I don't eat my money.
No, but it's filthy.
I wash my hands. I mean, I'm not, so I can take a dollar bill. Like, what difference does it make? The epidermis is pretty good at protecting you from all the evil germs on dollar
bills.
Well,
you just better hope you don't get a tiny paper cut from all that paper money you're carrying.
Mutate into another species.
The chat room is saying I'm fighting a losing battle.
With me.
So it's more than an anonymity. You just like it. What if you could just walk in and they'd say, John, that's great. It's on your bill. You don't want to be tracked. So what if they track you? Do you not use credit cards?
I generally speak. Well, here's the problem with them. They have a high interest rate. They have scam charges that constantly never end. Oh, yeah. This happens with everything outside of straight up cash. Just nickel and dime you to death with fees and charges and bogus charges that you have to fight. And then you have cascade effect when all of a sudden you get overdrawn when you really shouldn't have been because of something or other.
So like at the
the whole banking system stinks.
Should we go back? Should I pay my employees with a pay packet with some bills in it?
That would be cool.
I could have a little window over here with a screen over it and a guy with a sleeve garters and a little shade. John Schlenina, let me look you up. $53.06. Don't spend it all at the bar. I'll pay him on Fridays. Oh, then I can have a company store. I could pay him
this
script.
This is where you're headed anyway.
Yeah, I know.
Here's some endangered species money.
Is it a species?
Yeah, S-P-E-C-I-E-S.
All right.
Which is, unfortunately, it refers to that.
By the way, I use credit cards, but I pay them off right away. I never carry a charge because I don't want to pay the interest. And so I find it convenient. And I like the idea of a wallet because I like the idea. I've got this with me. I don't want to carry a wallet anymore. I just want to carry this. Wave it at people.
Specie, S-P-E-C-I-E, that's what it is. And it's also referred to as fiat money.
Oh, because it doesn't have any real value like gold. You trust that somebody's going to fill faith and
you
credit.
You put the credit and faith of the... Here you are. Now, this is a classic. You've got your credit card. You're a big fan of this kind of thing. Let the banks follow me around. But heaven forbid I should trust the U.S. government to back the dollar bill that's printed on this piece of paper. That's exactly where you're coming from when you say these things. You say this, okay, hey, I'm saluting to the bank and the credit cards, but oh, this dirty money has got germs on it.
It's convenient for me. I don't have
There's
to carry
cash around.
Nothing
more convenient than dropping $100 on someone.
Do you use an ATM machine?
Oh, yeah. Which, again, has turned out to, except for the fact that I go over to the Mechanics Bank, which is a little banking operation, that they pick up all the fees.
That's nice.
Yeah, so I can go anywhere in the world.
That's only in San Francisco, though.
No. The bank. Yeah, the bank's only in Bay Area.
Yeah.
But I can use a card.
But you can use it anywhere.
In France. And it says, oh, you now have to pay 15, you know,
right.
euros
but,
to
but
use
the Mechanics it. Bank says, nah, I will take care of that.
So I use that. I grab a bunch of money, and I'm on my way.
So you want to have a wad. You like having
I
a
don't
roll.
Have a one. No, I...
you carry... Do you have a bank, a money clip?
No,
you
don't
a
use...
Do you have a rubber band around it? You peel off bills?
You use the purple rubber band that comes on broccoli, and then everyone thinks... That's the one you use, because that's the indicator that you're somehow mobbed up.
You're such an old man.
I'm an old man. I'm the same age as you.
I know. But somehow something went wrong.
No, nothing went wrong. Something went wrong with you to trust the banks to such an extreme.
It's convenience.
Oh, that's it.
So if I use the broccoli rubber band, I'm mobbed up?
That's what it's going to look like. Yeah, so it has to be purple.
It has to be the big enough to one. Choke a horse, though, right? It's
gotta
be,
I don't carry
like
a big, wad around.
Round wad.
I carry around $100, maybe.
I wouldn't mind.
I got the debit card. I can always get the money if I need it.
I wouldn't mind. Then you're kind of cool. Do you think if you saw somebody walking around with a big wad of money and he'd peel off bills with his rubber band from broccoli?
Broccoli. And it's got to be the purple one, not the yellow.
Does that mean organic or inorganic?
I don't know what it means. I'm just telling you, it's the purple one you want.
I've noted. I say, whenever I get broccoli, I know they have a big, strong rubber band on there. I think, geez, there should be some use for this. Now I know.
It's exactly what it's used for. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to start calling. I used to call money cabbage. I'm going to start calling it broccoli.
You can do that.
We're going to take a break, and I'm going to make some
God.
Cabbage. Where's Jolie O'Dell?
I'm telling you, she never confirmed it. The guy ran off
to
Australia.
We need somebody to break this up.
Yeah, she'd do it.
Our show today brought to you by our friends at Citrix. We love Citrix, and we really love GoToAssist. If you're in the IT business and you do support, you're going to love GoToAssist. I was talking to Russell because he uses a very much more expensive product to do something similar, and he's ready. He says, I'm ready to go. This thing is so much better, and it's so much less expensive. So what is it? Well, it's remote support. You know that already. I've talked about GoToAssist before. In fact, it's the number one market leader in remote support. It gives you unattended access to your customer's computer so you can get in there and fix it. So much easier than being on the phone and saying, okay, click the start menu. There's no start menu. It's Windows 8. Okay, click the Windows button. Okay. No, much better. Just go in there and fix it, Mac or PC. It's very fast, very easy to use. And now they've added something brand new that I think makes this a full support package. They've got remote monitoring. So I want you to try it and see how the monitoring works for you. So the whole idea is you'll run the GoToAssist crawler on your client network. So Russell ran it on our network here, made a list of everything running on the network, all the hardware, all the software, every program on the system, everything. Now he's got this database, and now he can set up a dashboard that tracks the performance of everything, whether the toner cartridge is running low, the hard drive's running out of space, the network performance has gone down, servers are down, anything that happens, he can set the thresholds. And he'll get an instant message or a text or an email. When something's going wrong, he can get in there and fix it. Now, there's some kinds of support guys who like it when things go wrong, and then they come in and fix it because it makes them look like a big man. If you're not that kind of person, if you're a good support person, your goal is to make it transparent, right? That's what Russell is. I mean, nothing ever goes wrong around here. It's always working because he's proactive. And that's what GoToAssist will do for you. If you want to get in the managed support business, if you're already in the managed support business and you want to know more, visit GoToAssist.com, GoToAssist.com. There's a try it free button there. Click that and use the promo code TWIT. Right there where it says promo code, there's a link. You have to open it up and type in TWIT and 30 days free. Both the remote monitoring and the remote support. Make sure you check both because you may have already tried the remote support, which is fantastic, but you've got to try the monitoring as well. Inventory management, network tracker, tracking, server health monitoring, all of it. Windows and Mac. Go to Assist and Android. And, by the way, you could do support from an iPad. Go to assist.com. Click the Try It Free button and use the promo code TWIT. We thank Citrix for not only for making great products, but for their support for many years now of the TWIT network. So we've seen, I don't know whether, you know, it's interesting. When you don't, when you do the Apple thing where you have these announcements, but you don't tell anybody ahead of time what the announcement's going to be, you end up getting this Apple thing, which is the rumors. And The Verge has this picture. I like The Verge. Do you not like the name? Are you mocking the name or the company?
They just appeared out of the blue, it seems to me.
They did, and they're doing, to me, they're doing the best work out there. Their coverage of the Samsung-Apple trial was amazing. Don't you think?
Yeah, I'm not saying they're crap.
It's like, where'd they come from?
You got Nilay Patel on the team.
You got Joshua Topolsky, you got Nilay Patel. You got a really good team. And you know who it is? It's this SB Nation people, Vox.
Oh, Vox.
Do you know about them?
Yeah, kind of.
I think that, I don't know who's behind it, but these guys seem like they know what they're doing. They started with a sports network, SB Nation. They just did The Verge, and they put a lot of money into it. They spent a year. I remember Joshua and Nilay talking for like a year before it actually, after they left Engadget. They said, we got something good. Something good's coming. This Is My Next?
Mm-hmm.
Remember that, where they did that for a while? And then The Verge appears, and it was like, wow, this is like full-blown out of the mouth of Zeus.
Yeah. Slick is the word.
Very slick. And now they're going to do the same thing with gaming. They've got a new gaming product that they're going to do.
Yeah, what is that?
I can't
Pixel?
Remember.
It's the second coming of what's his name, the Gogger guy.
You think Nick Denton kind of...
I think it's a...
No, but there's a guy behind SB, behind Vox. It's not...
So Lagunitas makes the best beer on the West Coast. I'm now convinced of it.
This is a local Petaluma brand.
Oh, you could have brought me one.
Go ahead and get one.
There's one left.
I won't take the last beer.
Hey,
no,
Burke,
take the last
would
beer.
You get
they got tons of
Lagunitas for
it's in the in refrigerator number 6 on the bottom.
Don't go in the walk-in because that's where I keep my meat. You want to go? It's to the left of that.
Keeps his meat.
Well, I got to age it. You know, we got the nice market steaks, very good, but they got to age a little bit. So we have a special meat locker. That's just...
You know, you should start buying your meat off the hoof. Seriously, that's what I do.
I could put it in the basement.
Is that a butcher term, off the hoof?
Oh, yeah.
Kind of.
Is it Polygon? Is it?
Polygon, yeah.
So they haven't started yet, but
I think they have a section on The Verge now, and they'll launch a standalone site. I think they hired a bunch of people, you know, from IGN, and a lot of the big gaming
sites. Guy I used to work with, Russ Pitts, is going to be over there, too. And he's a very good writer. Very interesting. Yeah.
So what were we talking about?
Kindle Fire. The Verge has the story. This is their picture of The Verge's obtained images of what appear to be the next version of the Kindle Fire. The Fire is sold out. Was sold out this week. You couldn't go to Amazon and buy it. That means...
Yeah,
they got something else. They're saying 7 and 10 inch. This looks like a 7 inch just from the picture. It looks like it's a little bit smaller than the...
Look at this picture, though. This mock-up. It looks like junk.
Doesn't look good. But the Kindle, the Fire was kind of junky, wasn't it?
Well, yeah. It was
but it was $200. What's interesting is it's the world has changed. You can get this now in this Nexus 7. Which is not by any means junky. Same price, $200. It is not in no sense does it feel junky, right? So I think, and I tell you what, if Apple's doing a mini, and I bet you, here's my prediction. I'll be the first to say this: Apple's going to sell it for $200. They're not going to do the normal
$249.
Well, it might be $249.
Ah, my prediction.
But I bet you it starts at $200.
With gutless.
Yeah, the one you want will be $249.
That could be. I wouldn't make that bet.
In either case, though, it means that Apple's being extraordinarily aggressive, right?
Why are you reaching over and touching his machine? Oh, wait a minute, because it has a keyboard.
Open.
He would have done that if he could have. So there's an update.
They say this is not the picture.
Though we know this image originates with Amazon, another source adds the following. That picture you guys posted Not the new Kindle Fire. I know.
It's bogative.
Because I have held the new Kindle Fire in my hand.
Oh, please.
And I have played with it for extensive periods of time.
Yeah, I've heard these
stories. The bezel is wider. It has sloping sides like the Zoom. It also sits nicely in the hand.
Well,
so this might have been
just
a prototype.
A mock-up of the software, I thought. I mean, that's the software is something I don't know if I buy that mock-up there.
Well, and I wasn't real thrilled, frankly, with Amazon's version of Android. I think that one of the things that really sells the Nexus is that it's Jelly Bean. It's pure. It's a pure
and
Android
butter
experience. And butter. And I have to say,
butter.
I like Android. I've always liked Android, but I think Android now is really
slick.
Nicely done.
Buttery.
And you say that I configure it like crazy, but it's true because that's one of the things
yours
I like
is
about
out of
it.
Control. You should probably sell that configuration. You could probably get a dollar.
It's the Leo, the Leo setup.
I mean, it's a mess.
It's got a few widgets.
Oh, it's a whole thing. It's unbelievable.
It's like, so that's my music page. That's my news and information.
Hey.
That's Flipboard. Don't blame me. That's just don't zoom in on that. This is good for SEO. So that's my information page. This is my calendar and to-do list with a few little extra icons. That's my home page with the time, the weather, and the icons I use a lot. And then I have fishes. See the little fishies?
You got chats going on. You got...
Let's see the little fishies.
It's outrageous.
You can't do that on an iPhone. I can feed the fishies, too, if I tell
you. We should get back to
I
the
show.
I do
this every time.
You do that on Windows 95.
It's like Windows 95.
Well, here's my home page.
What's your home page?
Comparison.
That's kind of clean, Mr. Dvorak. I'll tell you why I don't like stock ice cream sandwich. You can't get rid of the Google search bar. Waste of space.
Yeah.
The buttons are on the screen. Are on the screen. They're not on the phone, right? So this is a waste of space. So even though it has a nice big screen,
they're on the phone too.
A whole bunch of it. Are there buttons below?
I don't know something. I don't know, maybe not.
No, they got rid of them. Remember, this is the key whole thing with ice cream sandwich was that the buttons, and I don't like that because it means the menu could be up there, it could be over here, it could be up and down. I'm not crazy about it.
Yeah.
He wants his phone back because he knows. If I have it too long, I'll change it to Greek.
You have to do the show. You don't have time to change it to Greek.
You're right. Also, and I am excited about this, if it's true, again, rumor, again from The Verge, Amazon's going to do a new e-ink Kindle. They're calling it Paperwhite. This was always the disappointment of the Kindle, was it wasn't really high contrast. I kind of have a gray-green
it's
background.
It's not bad, the current one.
It's okay. But wouldn't it be nice to have if it were like paper?
Oh, yeah. That's what the goal is.
With black text?
Yeah.
Just like this?
That's blue.
That's... Oh. That's what I want. No, I want it to look like a book. The more it looks like a book, the better.
Well, so these things are taking over the world. So I was down in L.A., and I went over to Pornell's place, and we chatted.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, we should have. Forget Jolie O'Dell. We should have had Jerry here.
We could have.
Oh,
yeah, in fact, he said to me, he says, hey, John, how come you're not getting me on the Leo show
I
more?
Told Chad to contact Mr. Pornell a while ago.
And I said, I think it's a mistake.
It's an oversight. Love Jerry.
So he says that because he's doing his agent apparently has moved all his old stuff to Kindle. And
right. And he's been very happy with it.
He says that, my son agrees with this because he's done some research, a Kindle's accounting for about 85 to 90% of all book sales with 5 to 10% Nook and then the rest scattered around of these things.
You mean people aren't buying paper at all?
Well, no, I'm talking about all
e-books.
So in other words, the iPad and all the rest of them are just less than 10%.
Yeah, the iPad is not a reading experience in the same way that Kindle is. It's
plus you could also buy on the Kindle store and an iPad and have it access from any device.
That's probably why, right? Because if you buy it once,
I don't know
Kindle,
who reads
on
the. Does anybody read on? Do you read books on an iPad?
No, I have a Kindle.
Yeah, most people are like you; they have.
I think so. But do people really want two devices? One for reading and one for
Ask
stuff?
Kim; he's got two.
I do.
Do you?
I use Instapaper on the Kindle. It's great.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, because it emails you once a week. It emails you your articles.
Yeah. It's nice.
It is
after
a good way
staring at a screen all day. Yeah.
What's it called?
Instapaper.
Yeah,
Marco
I've heard of
Arment.
This.
Oh, yeah, you got to have it. But there's a lot of them. There's a Pocket now, which replaced Read It Later.
Mm-hmm.
And Apple has its own solution.
Readability,
yeah.
Hmm.
I like Readability. Anyway.
This is a big deal. This is a radical change from the
Now, but you're a writer. Both of you are writers. And one of the complaints that a lot of people have against all of these is that they're kind of taking money out of your pocket. The complaint that a number of bloggers
I keep my
have,
money wrapped up in a purple rubber band.
Then you can't take it because it would choke a horse. I can't remember who was complaining. Was it Gruber? That the problem with these apps is they strip out the ads, basically. They take the content, make it – You never see the ad. You never see how it's supposed to be. You're stealing. Basically.
The advertiser doesn't know. It still counts as a hit on the page. So,
so that's okay. Then you're stealing from the advertiser, not to,
that's the
all
ticket.
Right. I don't mind that. They got money to burn. Speaking of which,
it's all factored in, Leo. It's all factored in.
That's why when you buy Twit, you get your money's worth. Because there's no way that you could strip the ads out of Twit.
Somebody could do it by hand, but then the show would be old.
They're so tightly integrated in. For instance, this fine ad for Lagunitas Pale Ale. You couldn't really get rid of that because that's part of the show.
You know, this Pale Ale is not bad. And usually you have the IPA, which is
IPA is excellent. And then I think you want the something-something. Here, let's put it right here so we can see it.
It's a fine beer.
Yeah.
Let's give a little bit to case
the ICE. Yeah. Oh,
is great stuff.
Our show brought
to you. Work on that Jobs impression.
It's not good.
Doesn't sound like him?
No.
Huh.
I rented the movie that Cringely found in his garage.
Oh, I saw that in the theater.
Yeah, that was weird. So Jobs dies, and like within a month, Cringely finds the lost interview, which is like a 90-minute interview with Steve Jobs that he did 25 years ago. It was in the 1995, I think.
That's the one where he said the director put it in his garage and never looked at it
they
again.
They found it. But it was worth seeing. It's on iTunes now, and I rented it. And it was actually worth seeing. It was an interesting interview.
Yeah, it's good.
Jobs is uncharacteristically outspoken. Talks a lot about Microsoft.
Yeah, and Bill Gates had no taste.
No taste, trash talk.
Yeah, we saw the best part of that when this original thing came out.
They showed a little clip of it, yeah.
Yeah, it was a part of that series that Cringely was doing for...
Was it
Network.
Triumph of the Nerds or was it
like
later? Yeah. It was for PBS, I think. That's probably why Steve was talking to him because he thought, well, nobody will see this. Cringely lives around here. I cannot get him.
I thought
him.
He lived in the – when did he move up here? He used to be in Palo Alto.
Yeah, no, he moved up here, and I cannot get him to show up.
Well, he won't come.
Why?
Well, you don't know?
No.
Ooh.
Very coy.
Wow. I'm going to have to ask, should I ask you off the air?
You're
you tell
the
me
only
the
guy that doesn't know him.
There's a reason?
I thought you knew.
Now, my mind is, going crazy of all the reasons why he might not want to be seen. Is he like the Elephant Man?
No.
Does he have some strange wasting disease?
No, he's a normal-looking guy. He looks a little like you a little bit.
Me?
No. A little old Mark? An older version
like an
Mark.
Old Mark Millian?
An older Mark Millian.
Is there like a fatwa on him? You know what I'm talking about? Like Salman Rushdie? Maybe. Like he can't leave the house because...
I don't know about that, but you got a thing to read.
Maybe the chat room could tell me.
Yeah, that's it.
Is he in the witness protection program?
Maybe he doesn't like your meat locker.
Oh, he's a vegetarian. That could be it. Hmm. The show brought to you by Gazelle. You know, the timing is good because we do have all of these new things coming out. And Gazelle... is the best place to go now to get a quote on your iPhone. And I'll tell you why. You may look at the new iPhone when it comes out in a couple of weeks and say, I don't really want it. But the problem is, by then, the price for your old iPhone will have plummeted. So the quotes at Gazelle are good for 30 days. So my suggestion is just go to gazelle.com right now. Get a quote on your iPhone 4S. Which one do you have, John?
iPhone?
Let's say he had the 32 gigabyte. Look, it's worth $257 in good condition. If it were in flawless condition, $269. Now, here's the deal. You throw that in a box. Go through the rest of your closet. You've got to have tons of – you especially,
see
John.
What the StarTech, the old StarTech phone is worth.
I don't think they take StarTech. They do buy broken iPhones, by the way. If you've got a cracked iPhone, I guess they fix it and then they sell it. They've got MacBooks that, let's see, what are the, you know, you can sell a RIM, a BlackBerry RIM. You could sell a HTC, an LG, a Motorola. I don't think they have flip phones, though. Let's see. I've got a Verizon, Motorola. Yeah, they get some of the older droids, stuff like that. What do you think? I see the droid bionic was terrible. That can't be worth very much. Say it's in great shape here. No water damage. Yeah, it's free of water damage. Of course it is. What's that worth? Hey, that's not bad.
No, that's a good deal.
I'd actually take that. Let me find it. I must have one lying around. So you throw those all in your box, and then they pay the postage on anything worth more than a buck, and then they send you a check. Their data experts will wipe the data. Let's say, you ready for the new iPad mini? That's effectively an iPad 2, you know. I think that's what everybody's agreeing. Let's say you have the 32 gigabyte, your Gazelle off for $270. That's great. That probably would pay for the new iPad mini. And leave you $20 for a couple of apps.
I think it's a steal.
So you throw it in a box, you send it to them, their data experts wipe the data, and they send you a check, they'll send you a PayPal. They do, and I would recommend this, an Amazon, get the Amazon gift card because it's 5% a bonus. They kind of rebate the Amazon associates fee. That's what I'm guessing anyway. G-A-Z-E-L-L-E, gazelle.com. Give it a try today. I think you're going to like it.
Mm. Looks like Robert Crinsley was on Twit 229.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Robert X. Crinsley? Was he really? Was I not here?
What?
Now you're baffled.
I am baffled.
Actually, the chat room had part of the answer earlier on. You'd have to, if you can scroll back.
They knew? They know everything.
You have a good chat room.
Oh. Ooh. Oh.
So, I didn't know he was around here.
Let's talk about Windows 8. We saw IFA, the Berlin.
I guess we have to start going to this thing.
This seems like the thing to go to.
When did that start? It's been going on forever.
You know,
it's
a radio show.
Yeah, it was 1920s.
It stands for, I'm going to see if I can do the German. Internationale Funkausstellung Berlin. How do you like that? No?
Yeah.
Internationale Funk. Is there anybody from Germany here? Is there anybody who speaks German here?
Nein.
You are a disappointment to me all. Internationale Funkausstellung Berlin. It stands for International Radio Exposition.
Yeah, Funkausstellung.
Funk is radio, right?
It's a radio conference?
It was.
It was originally.
It's from the 30s.
When the radio first became the next greatest thing to ever happen. It was going to change society as we know it. Well, I guess so. But
look at this. In 1933, here's Hitler at it with Goebbels.
There's also a picture of a famous Einstein picture. He was opened it once, one year.
Wow.
But he did it.
So since the 30s. Anyway, it has become a very big event.
I got disconnected
for
from the chat again.
Well, we don't like you. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that was Goebbels, not Hitler. So this year, Samsung had a big event in which they announced a ton of stuff.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
Well, it was almost like they wanted to say, hey, we're not dead yet, right? They're kind of like, look.
I think Sony did a lot here, too.
Sony rolled out a crap load of stuff.
Yeah. A lot of Windows 8 stuff. Samsung announced the Galaxy Note 2. That was their Android sofa. But then I think a lot of the thunder was stolen by the Ativ S, which is their Windows 8 phone. Now, maybe, John, you can decipher this. Because Samsung is not saying Windows Phone 8. Remember, Windows Phone was Windows Phone 7.
Right.
They are now saying, and I don't know if this is Microsoft's doing or Samsung's doing, they're calling it a Windows 8 phone.
Mm-hmm.
It's my opinion, we talked a little bit about this on Windows Weekly with Paul and Mary Jo on Thursday. It's my opinion that this is intentional on Microsoft's part. Because if you look at the Windows Phone, the Windows RT tablet, and Windows 8, the desktop.
And the Windows 8 tablet, too.
They all look the same.
Yeah, they've dumbed them all down to phone style.
Essentially, what they're saying is these are all Windows 8.
Yeah.
But it's not true because apps that are designed for the desktop do not run on the tablet, run on the phone.
Right.
So I think that there's a little potential problem here for Microsoft that people are there. It sounds like they're intentionally trying to confuse people that these are all part of the Windows 8 line, but they're not.
Okay.
Well, just a thought.
No, I think you're right, but I don't think it's intentional. I think it's a mistake too. But it's not like they're intentionally trying to confuse people. Let's see if we can confuse them.
No, you're right. They're not trying to confuse people, but in their mind, they are all Windows 8. This is the new look and feel of Microsoft, and they want everybody to feel like...
Well, they're assuming that people want to have the same experience manipulating the UI, but they don't necessarily want people to deal with the fact that you can't run Windows Office 2013 or whatever it is on the phone.
It's no different in the Apple world. You can't run Apple apps on your iPhone and vice versa.
Right.
I was so impressed about how many different form factors are coming out with Windows 8. I mean, it's almost like the OEMs got together and said, let's do everything possible. There's Microsoft's like case with the keyboard built in.
The Surface.
And then you can pull out the screen from the keyboard. And some devices, you can swivel it up, down, like every which
way. That's the HP has a strange swiveling.
Yeah, gee. We haven't seen that before 15
Lenovo
years ago.
Lenovo Yoga.
The Yoga is very odd, yeah. Do you think that might reflect more confusion on the OEM's part about what Windows 8... What they don't know what's going to stick. So
yeah,
let's try everything,
yeah,
right?
Let's try everything. And... You know, there's options now. It's not necessarily a bad thing.
I have said for a while that people should wait to buy a PC. If they think they're going to use Windows 8, don't buy now. Wait till the Windows 8 PCs come out because touch is going to be a huge part. Actually, it's not HP's that does that swivel thing. This is HP's Windows 8 Ultrabook. But they all have touch, don't they?
Few, right?
Yeah. Yeah, this is an Ultrabook. And see, well, it is detachable. That's going to further confuse
things.
What's
really weird is that the poor Asus, who do the Nexus 7 and get a lot of credit for that, but they have that little device. You have one, that crazy little notebook that hooks onto the keyboard.
The Transformer.
It's a great product.
It's amazing.
They just don't know what they're doing.
They make the best Android tablets. They're pricey. That's the problem. And when you look at the Nexus 7 for $200, it's hard to then pay $600 to $700 to $800 for something. But if you're in the market,
the Nexus 7 is made by Asus.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, that's true. They're making money either way. But I mean, I just feel like that the Transformer is the champagne of tablets.
Yeah, I agree.
But it's a lot more expensive. So here's the
Wordsworth in the chat room pointed out this Toshiba satellite,
That's kind of interesting. Let me show
like
that
iPad
one.
It's accessory
got a funny,
that looks like this.
It hooked, the way it's lashed up, I don't like.
And then there's
this is the U925T from Toshiba.
Catchy name.
Yeah, they really know how to nail the name.
And then there's the Dell XPS Duo 12.
Dell is the one with the swivel that was a little odd. Where are you getting all these? Is this from the chat room?
This is Wired.
Wired. All right. You're right. You can't say there's not a lot of creativity, is there? I wonder what Invisible Jolie would have to say about this.
Or let's ask Tiny Steve Jobs.
You know,
no, keep him down there.
They're ripping us off. They're ripping us off. That's what it's all about.
This is the
this is very insensitive.
Oh. All right, I take that.
That's not Steve Jobs. That's iCEO.
It's iCEO. It's not Steve Jobs.
Okay.
Actually, wait a minute. We should have an empty chair. And like Clint Eastwood, I could address Jolie.
I used that joke earlier in the day.
I wasn't
taped.
I just stole John's joke unwittingly. That was a Clint Eastwood thing?
Yeah.
Oh, I missed it.
But you got it on tape, so you win that battle.
And apparently Mr. Snitch Mark Millian wants to make sure you get credit, John.
Good man. Writers stick together.
After looking at all these, do you think there's a winner, these tablets? Anything?
The iPad?
Yeah, I think the iPad is the winner.
Here's the this is a rumor, but this Nokia will be announcing new phones. They're calling this the Lumia 920. This is their Windows 8 device.
Is this what they're showing?
Presumably, this is what they'll show at Nokia World next week. I think they'll also show a Windows RT tablet. I think Nokia will do an RT tablet. Nokia's realized that its fate lies with Microsoft and Windows Phone. Of course, Stephen Eliop, the CEO, is a former Microsoftie.
He's been saying for a while, though, that tablets is not their sweet spot.
They're going to have to buy them.
They could change their mind.
Once those stores get in past 35 or 40 stores, they're going to have to buy Nokia and use it.
Microsoft is?
And I believe you'll see a branded.
Why do they need? But they have manufacturing. They don't. You don't have to buy a company to get manufacturing expertise.
It's distribution deals already. But I think they want a branded phone so they can have their store have
just as they do with the Surface.
Right.
Yeah.
And they're going to have a branded PC and a branded phone. Look, you can buy the Microsoft phone system.
They're
Microsoft.
Already going to have a branded PC. They've got they branded living room game system.
Yeah. No. It's going. But that's because of the retail. They're going to retail. They're going big retail. You heard it here first.
It seems like everything Microsoft does is with Apple envy in mind.
Apple hit the home run with these stores.
These stores have been so successful.
So what are you supposed to say to yourself? Well,
already been done, we don't want to do it.
Yeah, you're not going to be that way.
No, you're going to, if it works, copy it.
If it works, copy it. And
yeah, you're right.
They've copied them, and they've done a really good job of copying them.
Yeah, you're right.
Microsoft leads in the living room. Back to the Xbox. Apple's playing catch up there.
Do you think Apple wants to do something like the Xbox? No, I think what Apple's decided
I think
is that
everybody wants to do something.
No,
like the Xbox.
I think Apple's decided
it was a real
Apple
pain.
TV?
It was a pain in the ass.
It's
to
a
do
media
the Xbox.
Media center,
but I gotta
tell
you,
a media center. They do want to do
it
that.
They
may be successful, but they've never made any money on the Xbox. It's a big, big loser.
No, I think it's making money now.
I think it's making money now.
They're making up for the hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars that they lost for the first 10 years. They lost billions,
and they got lucky that Sony dropped the ball.
Yes. And Nintendo.
Well, Nintendo's a kind of a slightly different market, but Sega quit, and Sony dropped the ball. And
that's an interesting question. You think that the Xbox 360 has net made money or is now just starting to make money?
My understanding is it's made money net, because once you start making money in that business, you make lots of it.
Ah.
So I don't think they break it out, but the $50 or $60 a year Xbox Live service, that's a moneymaker.
Huge.
It is. Microsoft says it sold 66 million Xboxes and 18 million Kinects.
And they say Kinect was the fastest selling consumer electronics device.
Yeah, just put a
short
spy
period.
Device right in your own house. I think it's fantastic.
Take
John,
your broccoli
you're
money.
Up, you're living up to your billing, John, and I like that about you. Spy device.
It is.
You know,
they know they have software that can take that thing and turn it on and look at all the things that you have in your house, literally, and then see what kind
to.
Of books.
I dance naked in front of it every day.
I'm sure that's on somebody's video.
Somebody
right
has
now.
That?
Say, hey, come over, check this out. Look at this guy. So, and then they can say, you know, this guy would probably be susceptible to this sort of advertising. And so then they start pumping ads at you. Eh, I could do without it.
You know, you'll like
you
the
know
new.
I'm right, by the way.
You're probably right. You know, you like the new Dell 27-inch iMac clone because it has a shutter on the camera. You could slide a thing.
Oh, because I usually put a big piece of tape
right.
over mine.
I knew
yeah.
that.
Seen a lot of people
that.
Doing that.
Yeah.
The black electrical tape.
I use gaffer's tape.
Why? Something,
I think it's some more symbolic of show business.
Well, you'll like this. It has a little shutter. I think that's an interesting thing that the manufacturers say, there might be this might be a selling point. Let's take a break, come back with more. Mark Millian is here from Bloomberg Business Week, a fine... You write for the online, but you also write for the print.
Yes.
Yeah. Really good resource. In fact, you know, I was thinking, like I said, I was thinking of buying The Economist, subscribing to The Economist, which is $140 a year. It's really outrageous. Mm. How much does it cost?
No.
It's too bad I threw the subscription card into the
audience. They have those deals for The Economist.
They do?
Yeah, you get 6 months for like 1/10 the price, and then you just keep changing your name. You save a lot of money.
How much? What does the subscription cost on this thing?
I don't know, but I'll find out for you.
It's too bad I threw away the. You know, most of these magazines, they have 15 blow-in cards. You got one.
Yeah, we got one. Yeah, it's a quality product. We don't want to.
It's a quality product.
26 issues for $20.
Wow, that is a deal.
That's a steal.
I might. You know what? You're gonna you beat The Economist on price alone.
Yep, $40 a year.
That's a lot less. It's like a third as much. And it's not snooty like The Economist. The Economist is
not
kind of
snooty. Very down to earth.
Here's the subscription card. Thank you for saving that for me, because I'm going to fill this
What's
out.
What's it say?
Get 100 it. Issues for $100. It's a buck an issue. 50 issues for $60. $120 an issue. That is a good
100
deal.
100 issues a year? Does it come out what?
It's weekly.
It's weekly.
So that's 2 years.
Two years.
For $100. That's a deal.
You can do. Can you play cash?
No. Yeah. Good luck with that. Where is this located? Oh, I'll just go to Boone, Iowa, and I'll find them.
It's the home base.
Yeah.
Got a big bureau there.
There's a bunch of prisoners there entering data. That's all that is. I used to send all my bills went to Sioux City, South Dakota. And I realized that's where a big prison is, and that's why I sent all my bills there. So the prisoners, because they're not going to steal my data. Prisoners are reliable, honest people.
Yeah, the banks picked them.
Let's talk about Ford. You got anything to say about Ford?
Yeah, when's that electric car coming out?
It's out.
I haven't seen one.
I've driven one. It's beautiful. Yeah. 2012 Ford Focus. It's out. And they've got the plug-in hybrid is next. You want a plug-in? I think you want a plug-in hybrid.
That's okay.
Well, the reason is because the hybrid means you have a gas engine. So if you go more than
you
the range.
You just drove the straight electric?
Yeah. Oh, you got the torque in this thing.
You know, that Focus is a pretty interesting little car. It's very well designed.
I agree. What they did is they're
really hard to flip.
I don't think that's what I was thinking. I was thinking more that they did a European design. It's very European feel.
Yeah, they got a lot of stuff going on with that inside of that thing.
Stuff going on.
Yeah, I mean, they got the wheels set up so you can't flip it. It's hard to flip.
Hard to flip. That's another reason to drive a Ford. If you visit social.ford.com, this is their new Ford social site. And it's interesting. Ford is really...
Are you going to get an electric one?
No, you know, I was going to get... So. No, I was... I'm on the list for the 2012.
Electric.
Ford Focus, all electric. And then I saw the plug-in hybrid. I thought, that's the next... Comes out in a couple of months.
Makes more sense.
Yeah, because it has kind of unlimited range.
And the plug-in allows you to go across the bridge free.
Right. And plug-in also means that you can run electric most of the time. I mean, it's electric for short range.
And
it's not like a hybrid with
the
gas
engines. You know, when you go to the Oakland airport, you can plug in free.
I know, and get the best seat in the house, too. So here's the Ford, social.ford.com. You get badges. I like the old classic one, but they have a geek badge. Look at this. This is the tech geek badge you put on your Facebook or your Twitter. It's more than that. They also have a lot of really good articles on a variety of subjects. If you look in the technologies section, you'll see an article that I wrote about an interview I had with Jim Buczkowski, who is a technology technologist at Ford. Because I'm really curious about a couple of things. One is what's going on with Sync, because I have Sync in my Mustang. But also new technologies. I think autonomous vehicles. I think we're edging in that direction. So I talked a little bit with him about that.
What did he say?
Well, he said what Ford has told me all along, which is we're not going to make 100% autonomous vehicle yet. But what we're doing is driver assist. The idea is that you got to have a human in there, just as you do on an airplane. But what you do is you give the human more and more information so they're safer and safer drivers. So, for instance, you drift out of the lane, pretensions to seatbelts gives you a warning. And actually, this isn't in the car yet, but it will steer you back into the lane. There's all sorts of stuff that they're doing. It's really interesting. So almost we're this close.
Yeah.
Do you like autonomous vehicles or no?
I told you in a previous show that we're just finishing a book on them.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Or I knew it, but I forgot it. That's good.
Yeah, you forgot that Cringely was on the show, too.
I don't remember that.
Starting to go.
Yeah, that's probably true. Social.ford.com. Read the articles. Share your ideas. Read what other people's ideas. It's like their suggestion box. And you can vote on ideas as well. This is fantastic. If you've had a good idea about what could make a car, a Ford, better, then go to Ford. Social.ford.com. Also, people posting pictures. I love this. My pony with added horsepower. This is so cute. People with their pony cars. I love my pony car. I understand that. We thank social.ford.com. We thank them for their support of our shows and for making great vehicles and bringing the pride back to America. So now we have Jolie O'Dell in the seat.
She made it.
Yeah.
You know, she's going to be mad because I know they didn't invite her because she's not a flake.
You think that we thought she was going to be here, but... See, Chad went to Atlanta, and he left me a note on my desk.
He emailed me and said she was coming.
Yeah, I thought. Yeah, I
bet you $10 that she doesn't know anything about this.
Oh, I feel bad now.
I mean, I would bet even money.
I feel
bad. Or actually, I'd double or nothing. I'd double it up, or double odds.
She smells
really good. So she's going to be irked when she finds out. How come you didn't know anything? But, of course, she hasn't got a phone number, and there's other. We could tweet her.
Bruce.
Is that gaffer's tape you used to hold that up?
Yeah.
No, that's that green crap you use for painting that mask, this certain kind of masking.
So Bruce Willis is going to fight Apple over the rights to his music collection after his death.
What?
So there was a good article. I like this article. This was a more serious article that said, you know, according to the terms of service, when you die, your digital, you know, your books, your music, they don't go with you. You know, if you had a 300-book library, you could give it to your heirs. Can't do it with your Kindle. So Bruce Willis wants to leave his huge digital music collection to his daughters, Rumor, Scout, and Tallulah. But under iTunes' current terms and conditions, customers borrow the tracks. You don't own them. Willis has asked his advisors to set up a trust that holds his downloads, including the Beatles, Led Zeppelin. There was a great $99 complete thing, everything Led Zeppelin ever recorded. They don't offer it anymore, but I bought it. I'd love to hand that down to my children.
Uh-huh. And so, wait a minute, let's stop. So you've got this Led Zeppelin iPod, I guess that's what it is, right?
No, it was just a digital
download. Oh, just a big pile of downloads.
Yeah.
And they're on, where are they now?
On various hard drives. I have it on my hard drive at home.
Okay, and so you drop dead.
Yeah.
And then the kids take the computers and stuff, and then they have them. So and you tell me that's not possible.
Apple says no.
Well, how's Apple going to know? They're tracking everybody's downloads, and they're saying, well, Leo's died, and his kids are playing the music. Let's bust in.
I wonder, it must have happened by now, right? I mean, people die.
I haven't heard this.
What happens? Do you...
They don't DRM the tracks anymore, so I don't understand what the issue
Kindle's
is.
Kindle's DRM'd, though.
Some of it.
Yeah.
I think
you can pretty much load up a Kindle with no DRM. I mean, there's so much stuff out there.
Right. This might be an argument to buy books and records. No?
No, because this is not going to happen. You're going to die and you're going to... Bruce Willis is looking for publicity.
He does look like he's looking for publicity.
It's a huge picture. It's bigger than the article.
Look how this bogus. Look at that photo.
Seriously.
Of it.
The article is about
he's sitting around with his buddies. They're drinking. He says, you know, I bet you I can get a bunch of publicity for this. I'm going to pull
this
a stunt.
This is the picture. This is the article.
Yeah.
Picture, article.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a scam.
He looks like he's ready to take on Apple, doesn't he? He's got that diehard gleam in his eye. There was a good article on MarketWatch. You've heard of them.
Yes, I actually write for them.
Yeah. Who inherits... This is... maybe you know Quentin Fortrell.
I've never met him.
Or who inherits your iTunes library? I think it's an interesting question, but I don't know what the answer is. You're saying violate the terms of service and the law and just keep the damn thing. According to Amazon, you do not acquire any ownership rights in the software or music content. Apple limits the use of digital files to Apple devices used by the account holder. Yeah, just make a hard drive and just give it to him.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to do that. Who found that article? That's that Bruce Willis article. That is wild.
You seem to be dwelling on this for some unknown reason.
Have you seen the Nexus 7 ad?
No. You have it?
I might play it if you're nice. Is this the James Franco?
The one on the homepage?
Well, that's on one thing. Yeah, no. Okay, yeah. Let me ask you about that because when you go to google.com now, you get a number of things now. Let me do it again.
I've gone
to
google.com.
You get an ad.
Oh,
this thing pops up
again.
Yeah. I'll do a hard refresh.
There you go.
That's what I need to do here.
Maybe you got to clear your cache.
No, I want it bouncing.
It bounces? Hmm.
Yeah. Watch. You got to watch closely, John. It's going to go very fast. Look.
I don't see anything.
Oh, look, watch. Here comes. Boing.
Oh, I like the way it bumps into the text.
Yeah, that's so you'll click it. Also, now I get birthday announcements on my Google.
Oh, I get that too.
Homepage, which I don't really want.
And what's weird is it's all mostly from the G.
It's all
Google
from
Plus.
Google Plus.
And so you say
people I don't know.
This guy, yeah, exactly. Who is that?
At least Facebook is my friends.
For this Nexus 7 ad, somebody dragged out an old Marissa Meyer quote saying, "We'll never have flashy bouncing advertisements on the homepage."
Well, she's gone. She's at Yahoo, and Yahoo won't have them anymore. So this is actually, I apologize. This is not a, this is not a Nexus 7 ad. This is a Galaxy Note ad. Strangest ad in the history of the world. Wait a minute, let me go to YouTube and we can watch it on YouTube because then I can go full screen. 3.4 million. So obviously successful. 3.4 million downloads. Can you get my, you don't get my audio?
Oh, hi.
Oh, hi.
I'm James Franco.
Hi, James.
In the past few years, I've acted in a bunch of movies. I've written some, I've produced some, and have directed some. I've also appeared on a soap opera.
He's using a stylus.
I directed a theatrical dance company.
Now he's making eggs.
Wrote a book of short stories.
What is the purpose
and
of this ad?
I'm even directing this commercial. Ah, Bruce, give me a little wider. And cue the tiger.
So a tiger comes in on a cage. And now he's drawing.
James, I don't feel so good.
Oh, really? I'm with swollen glands. Stick out your tongue.
I guess this is to demonstrate what?
Strapped.
You can diagnose people?
I'll send that to your doctor just in case. But lots of rest, lots of fluids. Make sure she does, ladies.
Yes, James.
Now he has a skate park in his backyard.
Oh.
I don't know. I can't watch any more of this.
This is terrible.
What is the point of this?
Note to self.
I don't get it. And by the way, that's only about a minute of the 2.5 minutes.
That was plugging what?
Didn't you notice that he had a Galaxy Note 10.1 in his hands? I don't think I would, you know, buy it because James Franco says to buy it, but
Galaxy Note?
Yeah.
Like that big giant phone?
Yeah, well now they like the brand so much they're applying it to everything else. Big flaw in Java that affects both everybody, Windows, Mac and Linux. This story from Bloomberg Business Week.
Which apparently is run by Droopy Dog.
Oracle fixes Java exploits 4 months after hacker flagged bugs. But guess what? Security firms are now saying that the fix, which was shipped emergency patch shipped on Friday, has other problems, similar problems that allow a malicious website to use the Java installed on your system to take over your system. So the advice of the folks at that do F-Protect, Frisk Softwares, is just turn Java off. Java's a mess, and most people don't need it anymore. There is the Galaxy S3 is now available in Earth Tones. Do you care? No.
I do.
Yeah. President Obama grants an interview to a racist teen nude picture website.
Did you hear the scandalous story going around that Instagram is becoming the big porn site now?
I saw that story, but it looked like just a bid to get links. Of course it's got...
Well, definitely link bait.
Yeah. But they actually did read the story because it worked. And it said, here's the tags to search for if you're looking for Instaporn.
What were some of the tags?
Well, Instaporn is one of them.
Instaporn, okay.
And hand bra.
Hand bra?
You're laughing as if you know what that means.
Some sort of
hand bra. But if you search for that, apparently you get something.
What else? Just wondering.
I could tell you, but I don't know if you're ready for it, John. Here's the problem that Instagram has 15 employees to review pictures, and they have more than 15 million new pictures a day. That's a million pictures per employee. Kind of hard.
Well, Facebook's the same way. They wait for people to flag
so
it.
So that's what they use. They use the flagging mechanism, right? I've been looking for
who's going to flag it.
I've been looking for good pictures on Instagram for months, and I can't find anything. So I think it's working.
So the Instagram acquisition, as of three days ago, is now they were cleared.
So when does Kevin Systrom get his money? That's what he wants to know.
Well, the acquisition is now, after being valued at roughly $1 billion, is now valued at $740 million, thanks to Facebook's
stock
tank.
That's why he's in a hurry, because he says, my money is dribbling
away. Losing out.
Yeah.
Why do you think anybody has any right to be upset over the fact that Facebook stock is cut in half from its IPO?
It's really only worth $7.
Well, I think the employees who came on just before the IPO and were promised great riches and stock. And
yeah. Well, if your strike price is $38 on your Facebook stock, you're not happy that it's, what, $17.
And the investors who got in on that last round.
That's, yeah. But, I mean, really, in fact, I saw somebody wrote, those people obviously never read the prospectus or Mark Zuckerberg's letter saying we're not in it for the, you know, short haul. We don't expect profits for some time. Now, Adam last week said it's hopeless. It's never going to make any money. They're never going to crack this. Facebook.
I thought they were making money.
Well, they do make a few billion dollars a year, but it's just a few billion.
That's I.
They're making
you should do this kind of business.
They're making less all the time.
They're not making less all the time. They're making more all the time.
There's not as much more. Maybe that's it. The velocity is not.
The velocity is crap because they're already a huge company.
They can't grow much.
Yeah, they should have done this IPO earlier.
Hey, bad news. Severe calorie restriction does not prolong life in monkeys.
Yeah, I love that story.
You were just starving yourself?
I've been
starving myself for years now, hoping to live longer.
Always said it was a mistake.
Turns out, after was a rat study, right? Many moons ago now. That rats who were not given enough food lived longer. So they started a long-term study in 1987. Wow.
Yeah.
That's like 25 years ago. It's a long time to starve rhesus monkeys. The sad fact is that the calorie-restricted skinny monkeys did not live any longer than monkeys who got to eat normal amounts of food.
Yeah, there you go.
So it's really upsetting to a lot of people who for 25 years have believed that this calorie restriction was going to be the key to longevity. Some researchers basically tossed the result out. Director of the Nutritional Obesity Research Center at the Pennington Biomedical Research Center in Louisiana said, "I wouldn't discard the whole thing on the basis of one study. I'd still bet on an extension of life." I think that really maybe it's time to think of something else. Pirate Bay founder, co-founder, caught and arrested in Cambodia. This kind of breaks my heart. These are the guys who were, you know, remember Pirate Bay would publish the takedown requests and mock them?
People still do that.
Say, "You can't get us. What we are doing is not illegal. Ha ha."
I think Twitter does that, but without the mocking.
We are.
Post the takedown request.
Yeah. So Pirate Bay co-founder Gottfried Svartholm Vorg has been tracked down and arrested, not in Sweden, but in Cambodia. He's been living there since the charges were filed in 2009. Now, the good news
is they tracked him down like a dog?
Like a dog. But Sweden has no extradition treaty with Cambodia.
So then what was the point of the track down?
I don't know. He was arrested in Phnom Penh. All four of the Pirate Bay founders were sentenced to a year in prison in 2009 in order to pay $4.4 million in damages. They appealed. Warg did not. He failed to turn up. He was found guilty in October, and he just never showed up when they said, come on, time to go to jail. Time to go to jail.
Where would you go if you were on the run from the feds, Leo?
Somewhere that didn't have an extradition treaty with the U.S., right?
I think Paraguay would be a good place.
Paraguay's a nice area.
Yeah.
Do they not have an extradition?
I'm pretty sure. I think Argentina may also be one.
Oh, I'd go to Argentina. Very nice.
I'd rather go there
good
than
Italian
Cambodia.
Food. Yeah. I like Buenos Aires. Nice city. But you get out of the town, it's like living in Tuscany. It's beautiful.
Well, it's a wine-growing country.
Yeah, so it's gorgeous. It's
always, you know.
All right. So you and me, Argentina, maybe we'll join Cringely.
Someone in the chat room suggests North Korea. I think there's flaws in that plan.
You could live like a king.
We were talking about the Kindle. Good news. Nick Bilton has for a while been on a campaign in the New York Times to get the FAA to reexamine its flight policies. They say yes. The FAA announced it's formed a government industry group to study the use of consumer electronic devices on flights. U.S. Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood I like that name. Ray LaHood calls the rules governing electronic devices in flight of consumer interest. And perhaps they will revise them. But don't worry, they will never, they say, allow cell phone use.
They say. The scam is to use a cell phone use with a femtocell inside the plane itself.
Oh, so you use the Wi-Fi in the plane.
Yeah.
Turn on the femtocell, then turn on the cell phone.
Yeah. You're good to go.
Or you could use
Skype.
That
means you got idiots all over the phone yakking away. And talking too loud, usually.
Are people doing that? They're actually making phone calls in flight?
No, they can if they had a femtocell and the thing was coordinated somehow.
Or, to your point, Skype or FaceTime.
Or something. Whatever it is, I don't like it.
But do you do like the idea that you could look at your Kindle while they're taking off, right? Or do you care?
You know, I usually fall asleep on the runway.
Apparently, I do too. You know what? That's funny. I do too.
Yeah. I do too.
You train yourself.
You do too? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you train yourself.
I thought it was some sort of reaction to the danger of taking off.
No, it's just practice. The greatest time this ever happened to me, I have to relate this. So I'm at, I think I left out of Texas, and I fell asleep on the runway as usual and woke up in Germany.
I love it. I fell asleep in Texas and I woke up in Germany.
It's unbelievable.
What a great flight.
That's a country song.
I've never had that where it was complete.
What a great flight. That's the perfect flight.
Great flight.
Were you in lie flat business class?
It was a lie almost flat business class.
Lie almost flat. I'm flying to Australia in November in economy.
No.
Yeah.
Why would you take a flight like that at your age?
It's too expensive. It was 10 grand to fly in
business. You got to upgrade miles.
I don't have enough miles. You think I'm going to have, what do they call it, phlebitis?
No. What I would do now, I'd start working on the PR immediately. Find out what the people.
United Airlines.
Oh, United, forget it. You're doomed.
I will be wearing my compression socks.
You know, however, big, giant thighs when you get off the plane.
I'm nervous. It's 17 hours in economy?
It's horrible. That's the world's worst
flight.
I'll
probably get a middle seat.
Ugh. Can you imagine?
But somebody, there's in every single flight to Australia, there's probably several dozen people with middle seats in economy.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're all miserable. You'll be in good company.
Good company. I do have that SkyMall pillow. You're right. So I'll be able to sleep. Did you see that? The giant pillow that you put your head on?
Yeah, I've seen that. You look like a complete idiot.
I don't care. Our show brought to you by Audible.com. Very excited. We've got a very good deal for Twit listeners. This is a special deal Audible only does on Twit of two books free. You know about Audible.com. If you've been listening to any of our shows, we talk about it all the time. I'm a big fan. And some great books coming out, some, you know, exciting new, this fall's biggest blockbusters. They've got a section at audible.com. So this is an audio bookstore, 100,000 titles plus, new ones all the time. The new Clive Cussler's coming out. Lee Child's Killing Floor coming out. Some great sci-fi nonfiction, The Happiness Project. All the President's Men. Oh, that'll be fun. That was a good book. I read that in paper when it came out, but you can listen now. I love listening because it's like somebody's reading to you. My son, who has a hard time, he's got a learning disability. I think it's probably dyslexia. He says, I read a page and I don't absorb it. I have to read it over and over. I got him audiobooks. He loves it. Got him on an Audible account. There are lots of books for young people, for young adults. And it's a great way to discover the joy of reading when you can't normally read. Here's the new, this looks kind of good. I like Julia Child. I like her story. The new Bob Spitz did some great biographies on Dylan and the Beatles. His new one is Deary, The Remarkable Life of Julia Child. Listening, I don't know, it just pours the book into your brain. And it really feels like it's almost like you're watching a movie. Really fantastic. I want you to try it out. If you visit audible.com, well, this is interesting. Unglued, making wise choices in the midst of raw emotions. I need that. If you go to audible.com/twit2, you'll sign up for the Platinum account. That's the two-book-a-month subscription. But the first month's free. Your first two books are free. Cancel at any time. Pay nothing. Yours to keep. Here's the teen stuff. Audible Essentials Teen Edition. 25 books you have to hear. Audible's done a great job of They call this programming, I guess, when you talk about movie theaters. Of programming books, The Book Thief, that was a great book. Hunger Games, absolutely true story of a part-time Indian. I remember that. That was a great, great book. Twilight, Tree Grows in Brooklyn. Ender's Game, special 20th anniversary edition. If you've not read Ender's Game, listen to it. Harlan Ellison does a part of this, by the way.
Mark Zuckerberg lists on his Facebook profile. It's one of his favorite books.
It's an amazing book with probably the greatest twist of any book ever. Do you know? Have you read it?
I have not read it.
I won't say any more then. I don't want to spoil it for you. And then there's a whole series after this event, but the first one is the one that you absolutely must read, Ender's Game. Anyway, go to audible.com/twit2. The hard thing is going to be to pick one book. You want to read about Joe Paterno? There's a new biography just came out. Oh, you know what? This is good. My dad recommended this. And actually, I'm going to put this on my list. So you have this add to wish list. So I'm going to add it to my wish list. I always come across books I want to listen to. It's called The Righteous Mind, Why Good People Are Divided on Politics and Religion.
Huh.
And it has to do.
I haven't noticed this.
Yeah. It's a social psychologist. He says moral intuition, which is the nearly instantaneous perception we have about other people and the things they do. You and I are good at that. Instant, instinctual judgment, right?
Totally.
You can look at a box of software and know immediately if that's any good.
Gestalt.
These intuitions feel like self-evident truths, making us righteously certain that those who see things differently are wrong.
Probably true.
You and I, we live in a black and white world, don't we, John C. Dvorak? Are you a gray guy? Do you see things in 50 Shades of Gray, or are you more black and white?
Depends on what chapter you're talking about.
He says we are fundamentally groupish. It's our groupishness that leads to our greatest joys, but also
our
divisions. It's tribal. Mac versus PC, Android versus iPhone. I got to read this. And then there's a... Just go ahead, crack yourself a tall one. Is that our new energy drink that you got there?
No, this is this stuff.
It's an Izzy, a sparkling Clementine Izzy.
Twit Bull.
We should do that. We should do an energy drink.
That would be great.
Yeah. This is... I just got this book called The End of Money that I'm very intrigued
That's
in.
That's actually quite good.
Have you read it?
No. But I have heard the guy give an hour lecture about it, and I think I've read it, kind of, because I can't see anything else that could be in the book that he didn't
he
say.
He says, say goodbye to your beloved Benjamins because the world is going cashless, which you don't like, but I think maybe might be a good thing. Anyway, this is my next read.
I think you should.
I'm gathering ammunition with which to fight you. And your broccoli.
It's not me. You're fighting. It's going to be the banks when they try to screw you out of all your money. That's who you'll be fighting.
I got it in my mattress. I'm safe. The End of Money: Counterfeiters, Fitters, Preachers, Techies, Dreamers, and the Coming Cashless Society. I can't wait to read that. Anyway, I've given you a couple of ideas for books. Maybe Ender's Game. Maybe this that you might want to try.
Might as well read Mein Kampf if you're going to read that last book. I mean, it's just going to talk about fascism, because that's what you're talking about with the cashless society.
We're headed towards fascism?
Yeah, totally.
Realistically, how far are we from a cashless society? There's been so much talk about this.
Thank God, a long ways.
Yeah.
It's a technological issue, I think.
No.
No?
No, it's people like me.
Psychological. But you thought...
And I think I bet all you of like China,
others,
by the way.
Well, maybe that's another issue. But I bet you, like many others, thought, oh, we'll always have books. Books are too good.
We have books. We still do.
Yeah, but I mean, it's become pretty clear that e-books are about to eclipse printed books. Yes?
Is that a problem?
No, but I think that a lot of us thought that can't happen. Books are too great. And what happens is technologies kind of assume a life of their own, and people get used to it, and it happens. Cashless society. It's coming.
Filmless,
yes. Perfect example.
Yeah.
When's the last time you used film?
I had some film on the bathtub the other day that I had to clean off.
That's a different kind of film. Internet addiction is fueled by a gene mutation, says scientists. A variation in one gene, CHRNA4, is more prevalent among those who are addicted to being online than those who are not.
Oh, really?
And is significantly more common in women.
These are the Facebook women.
And the Pinteresters.
It
explains Pinterest.
That.
I don't know if I buy this.
So.
Do you even buy that there's such a thing as internet addiction?
No, but this story is interesting to me. Because I know people that just get on these things and they're just glued to it. It's like, and maybe it's not addictive in some sense that they didn't exist. They wouldn't be having the shakes.
So here's the methodology. They interviewed 843 people about their internet habits. Found 132 of them exhibited, quote, problematic behavior in how they handle the online medium. So much so that all their thoughts revolve around the internet during the day, and they feel like their well-being is severely impacted if they have to go without it. No?
Not me.
Yeah? You like to go camping, fishing, hunting?
For sure.
Use a wad of cash.
I was just out of the country a week ago and
didn't miss the internet. How about you?
Well, because of my business, I have to pretty much be checked in a lot. But I don't go on, I don't have a Foursquare, Pinterest, I don't do that. I don't have a Facebook account. I think that's right there. I'm now exempt from all the criticism. I tweet once in a while. I tweet.
How about you, Jolie O'Dell?
I tweet too once in a while.
No, she doesn't. She does not do.
She
diddly.
Does tweet. She has tweeted. I do have Twitter. I use it.
She doesn't. Are you drinking sherry vinegar?
So here's the deal.
Is this where you've gone now?
No, I saw this in there. It's not open.
It's a downhill
and
slope.
I'm always scrounging various bottles of weird stuff.
Why do we have sherry vinegar?
See, you won't miss it.
Oh, I know. Dr. Mom sent us that. Dr. Mom sent us a, for reasons I don't really understand because she lives in Long Island, a case of stuff from Spain.
Yeah. That's what this would be from.
Yeah, Spanish.
And you probably, I'm telling you, won't like it.
No, go ahead, take it.
Thank you.
John really doesn't feel like his job here is done until he's found something he could steal.
I'm not stealing. I always get permission.
You do. Because I can't
that
say,
white phone
I can't
be
say
gone
no to
by
you.
Now, for sure.
So really interesting article in the New York Times this morning, the Sunday Times, about elections, in which he says that journalists are missing the boat in their election coverage.
That wouldn't surprise me.
Because, he says, journalists basically are like, he uses a chess analogy, like level 3 chess players compared to the campaigns that are like level 8. They are at such a higher strategic level. And the reason is campaigns are now using big data and know so much about what they're doing. And this and journalists are still back here, you know, thinking, oh, it's like they're going after Hispanic voters. That is not it at all. They're going after Jim Beam drinking Northern California. You know, they've got it down to a science. Bloomberg Businessweek subscribing people who drink martinis 3 times a week and are likely to vote. I mean, they know this much, and this is what you're talking about with the cash. They know so much about these people that they are highly targeting exactly to this audience. And it started with George W. Bush and Karl Rove, and it has been highly refined.
You don't think it goes back further than that?
Well, I was thinking about Nixon, who was the first to use an ad agency in his campaign. Remember, that was like a big thing. Oh, he's using an ad agency. All of Nixon's campaign staff came from advertising, came from Madison Avenue. Now it's the geeks.
Well, I think somebody in the chat room, Crimson, as I recall, says the real problem is that the journalists today are mostly stenographers.
Well, that's true. That's a problem in general.
Well, this election cycle, there's been a lot of fact-checking, which is great.
It's a meme fact-checking. They're not checking anything.
They're really checking.
No, this is like a veneer of crap that they're putting on top of with the coverage and saying, wow, we checked this fact and that fact. And there's a lot of subtext that they don't check facts on. I mean, this.
Don't you want to know if the politicians are making up history in their speeches?
They all make up history. They all lie. But, I mean, for example, let's take a – I don't want to go into a no-agenda type of thing here. But Paul –
What's that? Is that a show you
– Yeah, it's on twice a week.
What's the URL for that one?
NoAgendaShow.com. It's on Thursdays. Live. We stream live, by the way.
Really?
We got that idea from you.
Really?
Yeah, and then we stream live on Sunday mornings.
Yeah.
And 9 o'clock Pacific time. And we talk about these sorts of things. So Paul Ryan apparently came out, you know, the big stink was
the vice presidential nominee for the Republican Party.
Who looks like he's 12, but that's beside the point.
He does. He's very clean cut.
Very young looking.
Young.
Apparently an Ayn Randian, too, if you want to besmirch his career.
Well, but that's interesting because Ayn Rand was a atheist, but he...
Yeah, but he's a Catholic.
He's a Catholic. Doesn't believe in that. Doesn't believe in not believing.
So he said something about Obama comes to our little assembly plant and he promised it would never close. And he says, and now the place is closed and they've never reopened it. And so everyone jumps on him for saying that, well, yeah, it closed, but it closed during the Bush administration.
Right.
Well, okay, so now you have to know. So that's the fact check. The fact check veneer comes out and says,
See, caught you.
But it wasn't a lie. It was Obama did come out and promise it was always going to be open, whether or not Bush would close during Bush or not. So it was like this.
Well, how could he promise it was always going to be open if it had already closed?
No, it would close shortly after he left.
Ah, I see.
But it's beside the point. This is a veneer of kind of looks like fact checking.
Well, and then
but
there's also the kind of a gotcha thing. For instance, Ryan said he ran a 2-hour, 50-minute marathon.
Saw that.
And in fact, it wasn't that. That would be very fast. But that's an error. He ran it in 1992.
Well, this is like Obama when he says there's 58 states or whatever. I mean, this is obviously just a...
This is a lot of gotcha stuff. And I think the problem is it's very hard to... It's very complex. It's very hard to cover. So you end up...
These speeches are written and checked in advance. They don't do these speeches off the cuff. They could write facts into their speeches. We do it in journalism. They can do it into their speeches.
Well, I don't know about how long he was reading from his script when he said he ran that marathon in X numbers.
Well, that was in an interview.
Okay, well, so that's different. The other thing I think was, I could say you could argue it was misleading, but it wasn't inaccurate. So there's no fact-checking involved.
Right. And then there's Jonah Lehrer.
Who?
Something people don't like to talk about. Kind of feels bad, doesn't it? He's a science writer. Wrote for The New Yorker, Wired magazine.
Apparently,
big Condé Nast fail. He has been not only plagiarizing himself.
Well, you can't plagiarize
recycling.
It's called recycling. It's a minor violation.
I do it all the time.
Yeah.
I quote myself. Sometimes there's nobody else worth a crap.
I agree.
I have to quote myself.
But then he's also done a little bit of plagiarizing, a little bit of fabrication.
You know, there is no, Mark knows this. It's not that hard to write.
Yeah, make up some new stuff.
I mean, you know,
make
don't
up
have
some
to,
new crap.
Oh,
you don't
this
have
is
to...
a nice paragraph. I'm going to steal
I'm
it.
I'm going to re
Come on.
Yeah.
You know, this is not the. Yeah.
I like this. Wolfram Alpha has now is doing Alpha analytics on your Facebook page. Have you tried this yet?
I don't use Facebook, so I have no idea.
You know what Wolfram Alpha is?
Yeah, right? Great. One of these guys are amazing. A mathematician. Geniuses.
So if I Facebook, what is it? Facebook? Now I've forgotten. Facebook. Oh, I'm going to have to look it up.
Hey, hit that one that said Facebook versus Twitter.
Facebook versus Twitter.
Type it in again.
Let's see. Oh, this is one of the things Wolfram Alpha does that's really great. You could take two companies, you know, Yahoo versus Google.
It'll
Facebook
fill it in for you. Watch.
Versus.
So Facebook Laporte, I think, is the search.
Twitter.
Facebook versus Laporte.
No, Facebook.
Facebook Laporte. And so it gives you company information. Facebook Report. That's right. So this is just to the two companies compared. But for investors, this would be good. I love Wolfram Alpha. This guy's brilliant.
Yeah, you know, we don't use it enough.
We should use it more.
Generally speaking, the public does not use it enough.
Facebook Report. Now you have to give it
Siri now. If people use Siri, they'd be using it.
That's right. So you have to say, analyze my Facebook data. And you have to log into Facebook real quickly. We'll do this. And give it permission, and it does an analysis. It says loading my data from Facebook. It's actually
you
loading.
You feel uncomfortable about this right now?
Like what it might say about me?
Yeah,
just uploaded half your life.
Yeah, that's
to
good.
Wolfram
good
Alpha.
Move, John. Take it off the screen. Just in case.
No, but I'm just saying. He's saying, you know, I'm not paranoid. I don't care. People can get it. It's all public information. I don't hide my Facebook page.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the other thing is, I don't think Stephen Wolfram
Instagram?
Really wants to do anything with my stuff. You think he's selling my? It's interesting. You think he's like selling this? Like there's some?
I doubt it.
Something he's doing or not? It's very cool. So look, he's going to give me a whole bunch of information about my. It's analyzing this.
This is good.
This may take a while, actually.
Taking too long.
I did it yesterday, and I probably should have done it again before the show.
You should have just cashed it. Yeah.
No, it's almost done. Here it goes. Facebook report for me, Leo Laporte. How old I am, when my next birthday, hometown. Here's some interesting stuff.
Yeah, lots of charts.
Charts, when I uploaded stuff. Photos, videos, pasted links, statuses. I do a lot more photos than I do anything else. 80% photos.
Huh.
Time of the week that
wait,
I do
go
it.
Back. What are these times?
So
this is the day that we can
time. You do a lot of work
activity.
At 3 in the morning.
Yeah, 3 a.m., on Sundays, I am constantly posting stuff.
Huh. And it looks like you were not doing anything at midnight, so you get up at 3 in the morning and start working.
I am working hard for you, John. Weekly app. These are the apps you use?
Plan Spider-Man? Smug Mug. Oh, no, Socialite. Motion X GPS. Incredibooth. What's Incredibooth?
It's a photo booth app.
Oh.
By the way, I know 61% of my friends are men, 38% women.
Huh.
Most of them involuntary. Let's see. Relationship status. I know mostly married people.
A lot of engaged.
A few other. I don't know what other is. Here's the age distribution. Tim Street has said it on Facebook that he's 83 years old. He's not. He's about 40.
So this is bogative already.
Bogative. And Luis Oliveira is the youngest person
back,
I know.
Back.
He says he's 14. He's not.
What's Barlow doing on there?
John Perry Barlow is my third oldest friend. And if you take the fake Tim Street off, he's actually the second oldest friend right after Harry Fuller. So that's just, you know, I think that's fun.
What's so fun about it? What is even useful about this?
179 of my friends are in the U.S., 10 are in Canada, 3 are in the U.K., 2 are in France. My political views. Oh, it says what my political views are.
Be liberal in what you accept and conservative in what you said.
Send. That's more
send.
About the internet than it's about.
Avoid them, especially when they make no sense.
I don't know what that's. I have no idea where this is coming from. Apparently, I'm both atheistic and Catholic.
Yeah, well, it can happen.
8 of my friends are named Jennifer. 7 are named Dan.
And you are the best friends with most people that are best friends with Jim Lauterbach.
And Jim Lauterbach matches my social graph most closely. I don't know why that is.
That's pretty peculiar.
Yeah. Anyway, I thought that was cool. You can try it. Mm. So you go to Wolfram Alpha, you say Facebook report, you give them every bit of information that Facebook knows about you, and you sit back and enjoy.
And I'm sure the NSA is enjoying it too.
I don't care. The NSA knows everything about me anyway. What have I got to hide?
Nothing. It's not the point.
You just be private just because.
Yeah, there's a lot of good reasons for privacy to exist. Here's the problem. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about, I have never done anything wrong, so why should I give a crap? It's about the fact that maybe somebody who does something wrong happens to be a legislative person, and maybe he's married to somebody and he's actually gay. And he doesn't want anyone to know this because he knows he's going to get kicked out of office if they find out because they were a bunch of anti-gays in this area. So they find out about it because the privacy laws are lax enough, and then they blackmail the guy. So he's voting against your interests.
Oh, I get it.
And that's why you have broccoli cash?
That's why we should never allow gay members of Congress. Right?
Yeah, that's one way of analyzing it, if you're completely nuts.
Hey, you know, if you missed this week, did you know that we had rappers on right here, where you're sitting right now?
Rappers or hip-hop artists?
Hip-hop artists. Take a look.
Okay, it's different.
Previously on TWIT, NSFW.
Just tell them now, they better hit the ground. All you hear is...
Hostage down.
When the office does as heck allows, all I hear is...
Hostage down.
Terrorists get in the message now.
That's his posse. That's what the kids call it.
Hostage down.
His posse.
Man, we're the best in town. The internet says...
Hostage down.
Triangulation.
Unbelievable.
This guy was interesting.
Right. It's basically a service where lazy reporters go on and they say, hey, I need a source for this story I'm doing about boats. And someone says, I'll be your story as long as
you ever see that help a reporter out?
Mention my boating.
Yeah, I've seen
wild.
Mention my boat sales
he
website.
He posed Windows Week. As an expert in all these different fields.
Look at that. Paul in shorts.
I know this.
Paul, put your pants on. Paul.
I hear one joke about how I just came out of the closet.
in shorts. In shorts.
All about Android.
Hello. It's 6:23 p.m.
Whoa.
Tuesday.
Is this a Disney children's show?
Apparently, it's an alarm clock. Twit,
you missed a lot.
Hey, hold on a second.
What? That was a house ad.
That's just what I was going to say.
Yeah, because you say it every time.
No, I don't. It's a house ad. What are you running house ads on your own network for?
Because nobody apparently knows that we have all these other great shows
works
that
for
you
Zynga.
Can watch. Zynga does that?
Zynga's big on house ads.
Play other games if you like.
Yeah, they drive
really NBC
Farmville
is too.
Everybody does that.
Yeah. Did you have to pull a real ad for that? Because
no.
It seems like money gets thrown away.
No. Oh, believe me. That's an extra. I added an extra unit. It's called self-promotion. Hey, we're out of time. I guess Jolie's not going to show up.
She's going to be mad about this, by the way.
Feel terrible.
I guarantee it.
I don't know what happened.
Miscommunication.
It must have been a miscommunication, because you're right. She's very conscientious.
Yes. And she also gets...
Did I say anything? You were here last time she was here. Did I say anything?
No. I guarantee she doesn't know about this. I guarantee it.
I bet you're right.
Yeah.
Oh, I feel bad. Great that you showed up, though, because then otherwise it would just be me and this crackpot over here.
Yeah.
I'm the buzzkill.
Tough
Let's
to take.
Get that straight.
Mark Milian is at Bloomberg Business Week. I am going to subscribe to this. After going through this week's edition. It's weekly, right?
Yep.
Yeah, after going through this week's edition, I feel like this actually is better than The Economist in terms of just raw information. Apple versus Samsung, the longer view, things like that. This is the problem is that if you read the dailies or you read the blogs, you get just kind of
You don't get perspective.
This is like analysis. This is perspective. This is understanding. And that's what I need because I don't understand a thing. John C. Dvorak, channeldvorak.com.
Dvorak.org/blog and noagendashow.com.
Yeah. Is No Agenda like the...
Well, when you'll one of these days...
success story of the internet?
I think so. It's the greatest podcast in the universe.
It's the
all
greatest podcast in the universe.
But we are like an audio podcast. And, you've lost your way because you've done this video thing.
It's too fancy now. You're simple.
We're very simple. Yeah.
You ask people for money. They give you money. It's it. That's done. You're finished. Now you can enjoy yourself.
We do a lot of work.
Do you have ads?
No.
You don't need ads because people give you money.
They support the show.
They're producers.
Yes, exactly.
Stuff like that.
You got it. That's the way it works. It's a model that's probably...
So last week I asked Adam, did you make a lot of money? He said it supports two families. But what about you?
I got to support about six families, apparently.
I was going to say, yeah.
So I have to do other work.
Noagendashow.com.
Yeah.
It's a very
Check
nice
it out. People
show.
That listen to your show would like our show.
Apparently so.
Yeah.
Apparently there's great overlap.
If it wasn't for you, our show would be one-tenth the size.
That's what Curry said.
Yeah,
I
think
that's
true.
I want to cut.
It's too late.
Right.
You should have asked earlier. We offered it to you.
But did?
You forgot, just like the other things you've been forgetting, apparently.
Thank you all for
never
being
got
here.
The letter.
We do Twit 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern time, 2200 UTC on twit.tv. Do watch live because it's great every Sunday afternoon. We love having you here. And if you can't, we make on-demand audio and video available after the fact at twit.tv. If you're in the Northern California area... please stop by. There's a parade every single week.
Apparently.
Every single week.
This town is out of control.
It's impossible to get in. We love our parades. It's wonderful if you can come visit us. Just email tickets at twit.tv, and we will make sure that you get directions and the secret code to the door. That's our security.
A mile and a half away.
Yeah. Were you all able to find parking nearby? Yeah.
Yeah, that garage next door.
They parked 10 blocks away.
But they
got here earlier before the parade. It's empty. You can park right in front because everybody left because the parade's over.
Yeah.
Next week, it'll be bad.
What's next week? Something bad.
Some other parade. We like our parades. Parades are the greatest, though, don't you think?
Yeah, a lot of fun.
Yeah. Parades and farmers markets. That's what keeps Petaluma afloat. Thank you all for being here. We appreciate it. Everybody in the studio, everybody watching at home, we'll see you next week. Another Twit is in the can.
Check. Doing the Twit.